Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Hashtag My Investing Story. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master wealth builder, helping to build a stronger and better life and business. And I'm also a volunteer with the Better Investing Organization. Better Investing is a 501c3, not-for-profit organization. And the organization has helped over 5 million individual investors have a better quality of life through investment education. And as a volunteer with Dione McNeil and myself, we are not selling any products or services on behalf of this organization because we're individual volunteers. And as volunteers, we're here to promote investment education. And with that, every Wednesday, we come on and we share a story of an individual investor who and share their investment journey. And so today is the same as every week. And our special guest today is none other than Dan Harker. And Dan shared with us, actually as a volunteer in North Florida chapter of Better Investing. Well, I met Dan when he came and became a part of our investment financial empowerment seminar that was hosted in the month of May. And I shared with him earlier before the show started that people are still talking about his breakout session. And so to tell you a little bit about who he is and what he does, Dan has been a volunteer and a member of Better Investing since 2000, April to be exact, and as an active volunteer since January 2001. Dan is also the owner of a small technology computer repair company, and we're just sharing about how when you have options, you don't have to retire. You can continue to do exactly what you desire to do and actually when and how you'd like to do that. But as the Vice President of Education and Training for the North Florida Chapter of Better Investing, he has a passion for educating, which also allows him to share with many other individuals in all walks of life. He's also a graduate of Eckerd College, OSHER, Lifelong Learning Institute, where he teaches technology at OSHER Lifelong Learning Institute. And we're just very excited, Dan, to have you here with us as we hear your investing story. And so with that, I'd like to welcome my co-host, Ione McNeil. Good afternoon, Ione.
Good afternoon. Thank you. So, Dan, I'm really excited to have you on as a guest. As Ms. Ann mentioned, you know, you were gracious enough to contribute your time to the financial empowerment seminar that we had on Saturday, May 15th. And the reason that was so important and I think impactful was because there really sometimes needs to be a bridge between where people are in their financial lives and where we are as Better Investing members. A lot of times when we've been investing so long and also in an investment club and contributing to our retirement account and investing for our grandchildren's retirement account, we forget that there are still some people that haven't even built up a savings habit to even move on to investing. So talk to us a little bit about why you started to even become a volunteer, because you you actually became a Better Investing volunteer very shortly after you became a Better Investing member.
Yeah, well, so when I started in, as a volunteer, it was actually, I lived in Washington State at the time in southeastern Washington. And there we were actually an offshoot of the chapter. Our chapter was actually in Spokane, which is the Inland Empire chapter of Better Investing. And they were located about 120 miles away. And so we had one individual that was local there that was providing education. And I just thought, well, first of all, I have the passion for it. I just wanted to learn how to invest. And so I felt that he was understaffed, obviously. And as we always do when we hold our education in person, you know, we offer up for any individuals that might be interested in becoming a volunteer. And so he made that offer as well. And so I thought, you know, why not? In fact, I found that what better way to learn than by having to actually teach others. So I had to, a lot of times, teach myself the topic before I actually, you know, was able to educate other people with it. So that's really, I mean, that's why I started shortly after, simply because, you know, he was a one-man show and obviously needed help. And I thought, you know, I just knew that when I first started to learn to invest, I was really looking for a method. And I tried some other things before that didn't work. And so it made sense when I really started learning the Better Investing methodology. It was like, hey, this is it. You know, this is the way to do it. And so I was really wanting to, you know, spread that knowledge to other people.
Excellent. And I'm so glad you transitioned us there, because I do want to go back to, you know, when you were growing up as a child. Was it originally in Washington State?
Yep. Yeah, I was born in Washington State. Both my wife and I were born there.
Okay. And so was money talked about in your home? Did you grow up with parents who were already investing?
No, my parents didn't invest. They never talked about it. The only thing, the one big influence on money was when I got a job mowing yards and, you know, painting sheds and doing miscellaneous stuff. My mom took me down to SeaFirst National Bank and, you know, got a passbook savings account. And she kind of instilled in that the theory of saving, at least. And so, I mean, she was that little thing made such a big difference in my life, though, because I kind of have gotten on almost obsessed about savings. You know, that as I grew later in life, that it was, you know, I'm trying to always find squirrel away. My wife always calls it my little nest eggs, you know, that I squirrel away, or my squirrel's nest. But because that's it. I just kind of do different things. And I think it all comes from that initial thing when my mom took me down there to, you know, just start saving a little bit of the money that I was making mowing lawns.
I mean, I'm so glad you shared that story, because sometimes we forget how impactful those things are that you do with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nothing replaces doing it with the child rather than doing it for the child.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now in the age of technology and everything being digital, many times we don't take, you know, our child to the bank or to the credit union. And they don't see us write checks, so they don't mm-hmm. see us kind of manage the family's finances. But after that, you know, pivotal moment of learning how important savings is, when did you actually end up finding out about investing?
Yeah, not until the late 1990s. So I was born in 1958, so it was almost 40 years. Well, it was 40 years that, you know, since when I first started thinking about it. I had always, you know, when I was employed, I always saved money into my 401k or the, you know, whatever the options were of the employer. I was always aware of that because, as I said, I kind of learned to save, you know, early on from my mom. But I always, well, of course, when the 1990s were going, things were, you know, basically stock was going up no matter what, whether they made any money or not. And so I kind of wanted to get involved in the late 90s. And so I started using the momentum methodology, which basically says there's somebody else that's willing to pay more for the stock than I did, has no basis on whether it's a good company or even if it, you're getting it at a good price. It simply is just, you know, there's got to be somebody else that's willing to pay more than I am, no different than what's going on with Bitcoin and some of the other investments that we have today. That it just didn't make sense, though. I wanted a reason to buy a company. And so I was working, I worked in healthcare at the time in the IT world, and I had a lab that I did some work for as well, like a pathology lab. And I ran into a girl there, and somehow we started talking about investing, and she brought up this idea of an investment club. And, you know, at that time it was NAIC, and so, you know, they hadn't converted to Better Investing yet. And so I went out to the website, did my own research on what they, you know, what was involved with Better Investing. And it, again, it just kind of makes sense to me. It's a methodology that, you know, it makes, and I just keep repeating, it makes sense, obviously. So I then decided, okay, I'm going to form an investment club. And I rounded up a bunch of coworkers and family members and started a club in 2000.
So I want to make sure that I understand the transition between learning about investing, which at that time was more trading than investing.
That's right.
And then how long were you kind of that way? I'll call it the general public way because, you know, because I had joined BI so early, I was only used to the BI way of investing. And maybe within the past 5 years, I realized, oh, that's not how the majority of people invest. But yeah, talk to us about, you know, those lessons learned. You know, if you want to share some horror stories or just, you know, well, how was investing then, you know, learning, doing it on your own, momentum investing, and then how long were you doing that, and describe it a little bit for us, and then when did you come into Better Investing?
I didn't do it long. I mean, I only did it probably 2 or 3 years, if that. And so, you know, I had some definite horror stories where, you know, the price was going up. So it's kind of one of those you know, I didn't want to get left off the bus when it's moving. And so I just jumped on buying something just because the price was going up. And I, you know, I didn't really understand the business. I didn't know anything about the company. It was simply that the price was going up and I wanted to get some of that. And so, you know, there's plenty that I bought at the high. They, you know, people sell them off after that and then, you know, the price drops. And so I've suffered the consequences because of that. And then, you know, I've had a good business sense always, I think, anyway. And so it just didn't make any sense to me that was a solution to buying stocks, that it was simply just on price. There had to be something more. And that's why I was searching for a method. I didn't really want that it was, you know, just simply the price only. That's not my only criteria for why I'm buying it. And I kind of read about technical investing, but that also didn't make a whole lot of sense to me because, you know, again, you're just doing it based on what the price has done in
movement,
the past.
Exactly.
Right. So why would I think now that since it's moved in the past that it's going to move that same way in the current? And same thing with, you know, whether there's volume or something. And so, you know, I just like, this doesn't make sense to me. I really want some other way to figure out whether it's a good investment or not. And then when I did read about Better Investing, it's like, this is it. I mean, this makes perfect sense. And so that's why I ended up, you know, getting into this, the methodology.
So walk us through the kind of that first BI experience. Was it coming across a BI magazine? Was it being invited to one of the in-person educational events? Just kind of walk us through that experience.
Well, initially it was when I talked to a coworker, and the coworker mentioned that she had been in an investment club And so I then just went out to the NAIC website. Back then it was NAIC.org, I think. And I just read up on, you know, what they were all about. And I liked the idea of an investment club. So you could kind of still stay invested regularly, but learn the method. And so I then, you know, searched for a local education, found the chapter in Spokane, and then they had the satellite in the area that I lived. And so I just, you know, I kind of did it all on my own as far as finding it. And then once I found the, you know, the class, of course, then I started with the basic stock selection guide class, which, you know, honestly, back then it was a little bit painful when you had to do it on a, you know, you obviously have been around long enough to know that when you had to do it on a paper form and you had to graph everything yourself. Now it's obviously all electronic, much easier. But, you know, so that was a little bit on the painful side. But I've also been kind of a numbers guy my whole life, that, you know, I like numbers. And so that didn't scare me away. I still, because it did make sense to me as well.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you just kind of walked us through that, because right now, you know, there's the kind of tug between the individual investor and the, you know, person that is a part of an investment club. Can you talk to us a little bit about how being a part of an investment club really has enhanced your own investment journey or investing journey?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the collaboration with all your club members is, I think, the number one thing you get out of an investment club. Well, obviously, the better investing methodology is, you know, our four criteria is that you want to invest regularly is one of them, obviously. And so that's the key thing with an investment club, is it got me doing that, at least. I was putting money aside every single month. And then just learning from other people in the club, you know, we've got PhDs in our club. You know, people with totally different backgrounds than what I have. And I can talk about the technology side of things, but I don't know anything about, you know, a lot of other stuff. And so that's the beauty, I think, of an investment club, is you get people that, you know, all these great minds are collaborating, and you come up with different ideas that you might not even think about yourself, different options for investments and different industries. You know, I wouldn't necessarily come to that conclusion if I looked at it myself. Now, there are times, though, I can say that my investment club does things that I don't necessarily agree with. And in our club, you know, we have the one person, one vote rule. So I owned a fair amount of our club, not quite 20%. My wife owns almost 20%. And so really I have more at stake than the other club members, but we've always been one of those clubs that just says, it doesn't matter what your money is. We want everybody on equal footing. And so there are times, though, when they make decisions, I'm kind of like, I wouldn't do that. But then I just say, I can want in my own portfolio, but in the club, I'll go along just, you know, since that's what the group wants to do.
Yeah, that's an important point, you know, to remind all club members, because even though we are pooling our resources, it's not going to always go our way. Mm-hmm. And so if we really have something we don't want to let go of, we always have our own personal portfolio to test out our theory. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the other thing that I've taken out of that club as well is, you know, all that knowledge that I've learned in the club, the club money is nothing in the grand scheme of things. It's basically – well, it's become something somewhat substantial because I've been in it for 20 years, but it's really what I've done outside of the club that is really where the wealth building has occurred. It's, you know, in the club, it's, you know, you're not putting a huge amount of money in every month, but over time, obviously, that has accumulated to a decent sum. But it's really what I've done outside of that, using this method and investing in my own accounts, that really is, that's what's where the wealth has been built.
You didn't start even learning about investing until about 40, and mm-hmm. you know, you were over 40 when you found out about Better Investing.
Yep.
Could you share some words of wisdom to other 40-year-olds who are just now starting to realize they need to start learning about investing. There are some people that, whatever the age, 40, 50, 60, they're starting to feel behind the eight ball. Mm-hmm. So could you just share some words of wisdom just from your own experience coming in at that same time?
Well, I think that there's no, it's never too late to start, absolutely. So even if they are in their 40s, you know, I've been able to just start that ball rolling. And especially, you know, with nowadays when people are living longer, you know, you may be end up living, you know, 90, 100 years old. And so just because you're 40 years old, you may have still another 50 years of investing. And so it's critical that you, you know, get it in the right, you know, the right options. So that, you know, you're not too conservative, you're getting into something that will actually grow over time. And obviously that's why we invest in individual stocks in the stock market, because that's where the money is made long term. And, you know, it's just the process of just getting started. You know, there's lots of options as far as how to do it. I mean, you can do it through an investment club, obviously, or you can self-manage your own portfolios using Roth IRAs, which that's an absolute minimum. You have to be invested in a Roth IRA. When you can put money in and have it tax-free, you know, it's like you could grow it to millions of dollars and still have it all tax-free. You just can't beat that. So that's something absolutely. And then I obviously always take advantage of any money that my company is giving me. So there, if I contribute X number of percent into my company 401k, then they typically match that with a certain percentage. So at a minimum, I always say take advantage of that too. And the other thing I did, which isn't really directly related to investing, but it's, you know, still in the financial realm, I also, first of all, I can always paid myself first. So by that, anytime I got a raise, I didn't necessarily go out and spend more money. I would, as I say, I'd squirrel it away. And so I just lived within my means all of the time. And anytime I got a raise, I would just put at least a portion of it into saving more money. And then I also, the other thing that really was key to me is that, you know, certain times a year, you get, if you're paid biweekly, there are certain months where you get three paychecks a year. So what I always did on those months, I would take that extra paycheck and I would actually put it towards my mortgage. And so I was able to pay down my house much quicker. Now, in today, you know, maybe there's better ways to put your money rather than, you know, since the interest rates are so low. But when I first bought my first home, I assumed a mortgage at 11.5%. I thought I was doing a good thing. So the fact that I started working on trying to get that paid off, that one of the tricks that I did was anytime I got that extra paycheck in a month, I would, you know, pay off debt if I had credit card debt, or you know, save it if you don't.
I'm so glad you brought in those real-world examples, because I do think that when you start learning about investing, and when I say investing, I mean like the fundamentals of investing, and, mm-hmm. and that includes compound interest, time value of money, really just even understanding what interest is, then you will start to make other better money decisions throughout your life, because you understand what interest is and how mm-hmm. it could be working for you and how it can work against you. So, I do want to ask this question about investing for a purpose. You know, when you were 40, 42, 43, and, you know, you had done a little bit momentum investing, but then you got into better investing. Did you originally have goals outside of just wanting to learn how to invest and make your money grow? Did you have, like, certain retirement goals or vacation goals? Because I think sometimes, you know, people may need a certain vision anchor in order to motivate them to start investing or stick to investing.
But yeah, no doubt. I mean, I've always been a goal setter, that I've always, whether it's pay my house off, you know, retire early, which I haven't really done yet. I mean, I kind of have, but I haven't. And I've always, you know, I got a second home at one point. In fact, I had a third home at one time. So I did set goals. Some of them, I have a retirement goal, obviously, but it's not concrete. I mean, I'm saving money so I can live comfortably in retirement, but I really haven't figured out when I want to retire. So, I mean, the goal is there, but I just don't have a timeline set on it. And so that is, you know, one of the things that I always tell people I invest like I'm going to live forever, because I'm very aggressive, because I just know the data behind the history of the stock market. And, you know, how many, if you actually look at the stock market and break it down over periods of time, there's, you know, if you look at it over 10-year time frames, there's only 4 years since 1926 that the S&P 500 has been negative. So as long as you can think and say, well, I'm going to invest for at least a 10-year time frame, then the stock market is where you should be. And so once I understood all that, that it's like, you know, I'm willing to accept more risk because I know that down the road is really where I need the money. It's not right now. It's years from now yet. I'm 62 currently. And I just, you know, I don't know when I'm going to start drawing on my retirement, but not anytime soon for certain. So it's one of those that I know I still have years to go. So I always stay really aggressive.
Talk to us a little bit about how investing consistently for about 20 years now, and especially even being a 20 year Better Investing member, how has that given you certain lifestyle options and retirement options? Because right now you're still working, but you're working for choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably have all the money you need to retire now. So, you know, so just talk to us a little bit about how your world has these types of options, because you've been investing regularly.
Well, I can tell you that my wife is 6 years younger than me. She's 56. And we had this discussion last night and again today that she's not going to work anymore after this year. So that's given us that option by building the wealth. And it's still, when I look at the actual data, because I've actually used Quicken, the finance software, since the 1990s. And I've always been one of these, I mentioned I like numbers. So I always tracked what I was spending. A lot of times I didn't really use a budget. But I knew what I spent. And so I'd always go back and look at it. And I wasn't real rigid with the budget. I always made it happen. You know, I was always aware where everything was going. And so I lived within my means. But, you know, that's what it's afforded me now, is that once when I looked at that Quicken data just within the last month even, it was just amazing how it's just, you know, it's like a snowball that it, you know, you kind of start, you just pick away at it. And then over time, you just see that the money you can accumulate when you're investing the right way, that, you know, that's what I see now when I look back on it. It's like, how did I get, you know, it's like I had to actually go back and see what did I actually contribute into these accounts, because I couldn't believe how much the growth was on it, that it just surprised me that how did it get that big when, you know, it didn't seem like I put that much money into it. And so, but the, you know, now it's like we can do pretty much what we want because we've, you know, saved diligently and used this method for a number of years. Now, I do have the advantage, however, that I don't have children. So I didn't have to pay, you know, the expenses that it costs to raise a child, which I hear is about $250,000. And so that, obviously, I've got an advantage on a lot of people that I was, you know, able to save that money that I didn't have towards children.
Some people have asked me, is it smart to still invest in retirement? What would you say if that question was
absolutely asked? You have to. In my mind, you, unless you are, you know, if you have a need that you have to, you know, healthcare costs or something like that, that you have to, you know, have access to the money immediately, then, but it doesn't matter. Even when, like when I retire, I still plan on investing as if I'm going to, as I mentioned, I'm going to live forever. So I'm going to still stay very aggressive. And that's where all the money grows, is in the stock market. And so I personally don't agree with a lot of the, you know, it's like the life cycle fund that says if you're going to retire in 2030, that they're going to put X number of dollars in bonds and X number of dollars in stocks. Well, in my opinion, that's too conservative. And so you don't really get the growth that you need to sustain that money, because we don't know how long we're going to live. So you need to be somewhat aggressive to be able to, you know, continue to grow your wealth, or at least maintain it. And so if you start drawing off of that, if you are too conservative, you know, you have the potential to run out of money. And that obviously is not a good thing. So, it's, you know, in my opinion, yes, you need to continue to invest and continue to try to, you know, if you look at it in investing, though, the way we do it, in my opinion, is a lot more stable than if, you know, you're trading, for example. So if all you're doing is you're doing my momentum method, where you're trying to buy something just because the stock price is going up, well, then you may end up getting beat up on that method. But if you're buying high quality companies and hanging on to them for the long term, then in my mind, it's fine to continue to invest in those, unless you think our economy is not going to sustain itself. And I don't think our economy is going to go anywhere anytime soon. So in my opinion, yes, you need to keep investing.
What's been some pivotal books that you've read over your, you know, period of time or journey that's really made an impact you want to share with people?
Well, the only one that comes to mind, there's a couple of, I don't recall the name of it, but it's the Peter Lynch book that basically just says that anybody can do it, that it's not, that's kind of the whole premise behind his book, is that, you know, as long as you're investing in what you know, and the average person has the ability to invest in the stock market, it's not all professionals. In fact, anybody can do it. That's, in fact, if you look at Better Investing, there, we have such a diverse group of people, and it just proves that, you know, highly educated, not highly educated, you know, anybody can do this. And so that was one of the things that stuck with me, is like, it kind of gave me the confidence that, hey, you know, maybe he's right. Maybe I can go out and do this and learn how to do it. And, you know, it's like, especially today with the internet and all the information that's available there, then, you know, there's, you know, we have just as much information as the professional people do. And so there's, you know, you can go out and educate yourself, and definitely, you know, it's viable.
It's a little bit about, you know, you being a chapter director and vice president of education for the North Florida chapter. I think that the North Florida chapter, or formerly known as the Space Coast chapter, does great work. So I want you to, you know, talk to everybody about, you know, the educational events you have, the model club you have, and then the partnership you have with the military base nearby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we actually, I don't participate in their model club. I'm in two investment clubs, but not the model club. And so I can't really speak to the model club too much, but I do, it's been like 2 years now that I inherited the education role. And so I teach, I do webinars the first Tuesday of every month at 7:30 Eastern time. And, you know, I have to admit a little bit that I don't really plan a whole lot on those. You know, like you would think typically that somebody in charge of education should have, you know, like a plan laid out for the whole year. And I really don't do that. I kind of fly by the seat of my pants a little bit on that. And so a lot of times I'm trying to figure out topics a month or two ahead. And then, you know, part of it is I'm trying to keep it relevant. So, for example, the last one I just did was an overview of the My iClub website. And the My iClub just came out with a new tool that allows us to tie in our stock selection guide with our the SSG Plus online tools from Better Investing. And so that's pertinent. It was timely. And so that's when we decided, let's do an overview of that, of the entire site, as well as that, you know, that specific feature. And so, I do know one shortcoming I'll say with that education is that we really need to get more audience participation. And so it is a little difficult, I find, in a webinar to try to pull everybody in, or at least I struggle with it. And so that's something I have in is one of my goals in the next year, is somehow come up with a methodology to get more interaction between people, that it's not just me talking to everybody, that, hopefully it's interactive and works both ways. Because what I found in Better Investing, even though I've been doing it a long time, every time I watch a webinar that somebody else puts on, I'm learning something. And so you continually just build that wealth of knowledge that you have, and it will come back, you'll get gains out of it later, in my mind.
No, you're absolutely correct. And I think even though you don't do much pre-planning, I found that I'm always, telling people about your first Tuesday's educational events, because they are relevant. They are always packed with information. And even probably most importantly, people have access to the recordings. The North Florida chapter is definitely still probably one of the most organized, of course, thanks to Bob Huell, mm-hmm. who, everything is recorded, everything is archived. So I'm always pointing, especially new investors, to those TTW recordings, because if you just take, one a week or two a month, slowly but surely, you're definitely going to, catch up on mm-hmm. speed and learn a lot.
Well, I think that's one challenges in Better Investing is that, there's those of us that may have more knowledge than others. We've had more experience with it, and trying to bring in people that don't, especially in an investment club. If our club has been going since 2000, how do you bring in a new member when everybody else kind of knows what's going on and they don't? So that is one of the challenges, definitely. I've got it easier this time. I formed a new club, and I'm the only one that really knows what's going on. So everybody's kind of on equal footing, at least, besides me. But that's good that I can kind of massage them a little bit, if you will.
And talk to us about why. Why would you even join or start another club? You're already in one.
Yeah. I mean, part of it is spreading the wealth. I mean, this organization has been so good to me that, even though I'm the one giving all the time, I'm the one volunteering as a chapter member or director, I just see what the benefits of it are. And so I want more people to know about it. And so I'm just basically up on my mountaintop trying to scream to people to tell them, hey, this is Better Investing. This is our methodology. And I know it works. I've seen it work. I've done it. And I know lots of others that have done it as well. And so that's why I want to get another club going. I'll hopefully get more than this one. I may not participate in the others. I'll mentor the other ones. But the other reason I did it is also my club is still in existence in Washington State. So my wife and I are down here. The rest of them are up in Washington State. And I kind of wanted the one where we meet and, one to meet people, because it is social as well as financial. It's not all about money. In fact, it's more educational than anything is really the whole goal behind it. I mean, although you do make money and it can be substantial over time, but that's really, that's the whole point of it, is getting the education out to everybody and being social as well.
Talk to us a little bit about how you went about even starting a new club. How did you look for members? Were there any kind of prerequisites or requirements of them joining?
Yeah, so what we did, my new club formed because we received an email to our chapter that there was a lady locally that was wanting to join a club or form one. And I had mentioned previously at another board meeting that I was thinking about getting another club going. And then the way I did it was on Nextdoor. So since it's a neighborhood, if you're not familiar with Nextdoor.com, it's a neighborhood app that you can, you know, similar to Facebook in some sense, but the people are all in close location to you. And so I just put a word out there and said, hey, I'm forming an investment club, and is there anybody that wants to do it? Well, I got a fair number of people, but then I really didn't follow through with it. Excuse me. And I ultimately then changed houses, bought a different house, moved to a different location. And when I got this other email that somebody was looking to join a club, that's when I'm like, you know, okay, let's get it going now. So I reached out to her. She had a couple of friends. I reached out to Nextdoor. And then since I do in-home computer repair, you know, as I'm sitting there working on somebody's computer, we chat with each other. And I'm always usually talking about better investing when I'm there, if I sense that they have that same mindset. And so I've gotten, a former neighbor that came in and a couple of my customers that have joined as well. So it's kind of just a, mishmash away. When I did it before, my first time, I did it through family and coworkers. And so I worked at a bigger organization then. And I just, in fact, at that time I was the network administrator for the hospital. So I was always out and about. I knew everybody that worked there. And so I, just started talking to people about it and, got it formed.
And right now, the second club is how many members and how many years old?
Well, it's 3 months old. I literally just started it. So we had our first meeting, was it last night? It was Monday. And so, but there's seven of us, and I had three guests on Monday night. So there looks like we're going to be about 10 or so. And we'll keep looking. Our club is formed so we can have a max of 25. I think early on you don't want that many anyway, so I think it's better with a smaller group to start the club because you can kind of get your foundation, build your partnership agreement, and the more minds that are kind of in that can come up, sometimes make it a little bit stickier. So I think it's better to have that formed with just a smaller core and then bring people in after you've done that.
Very nice.
I'm excited by this club. I think we got some good people in there. It's it also gives me another way to save money. It's that method of every single month putting a little bit away, and so this is just another avenue to do that.
Well, Dan, I just wanted to ask you. I want to go back a little bit and ask you to share. Your first introduction to our financial empowerment experience.
Yeah.
Could you just share with our listeners your thoughts about, and for those of you that are wondering, every year we have, for the last 3 years, we've hosted a financial empowerment seminar. It's a half a day event. And this year, Dan came on and participated with us as one of our guest presenters in the breakout. And he shared some things of what we asked. Well, I asked the question of everybody, participants, everybody, what's one thing you will do from this event? So can you share your experience with the listeners, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know the source of the people in your seminar. I kind of came in blind, so I didn't really know who was involved in it. I didn't really know my target audience a whole lot. But, first of all, it was very well organized. Even with the struggles of trying to do it remotely with Zoom, you guys did a fantastic job of giving people the option to break out into other sessions. You had, I thought, outstanding speakers and relevant topics as well. And so, one of the things I noticed, obviously, I was probably one of the lighter-skinned people there. There's more community of color. That's why I didn't know where the audience came from. But, as I was listening to the presentations you kept harping on the fact of, what is the one thing you're going to take out of this? What are you going to do when you leave this? And, a lot of it I've done as far as, setting the budget and building my wealth and that side of it. But I've always had in the back of my mind, that there's this huge gap between people like me, which is white males, and families of color. And so I felt that, you know, that's something that needed to be addressed. That I need to actually do my part in trying to change that. And so I reached out to Ione actually after that event and, you know, asked if it was, you know, some suggestions about how to approach that and whatever. But so that's something I took out of it, that I feel that, you know, we need to do more, because just because I'm white male doesn't mean that I should be the only one that can build wealth in this society. And unfortunately, that we got a long way to go to fix that, of course. But I'm going to do my part. And so I've got the idea of reaching out to the communities here locally. And we're going to hopefully start working on that. It's going to be my next project, I guess.
But I want to thank you on behalf of all of our listeners who are of color and who are not of color, because just for the mere fact that you're sharing with us tonight your investing story, I think that this is the beginning of bridging that. And as we are all volunteers with Better Investing, many of us know from being involved 5, 10, 15, 20, some 30, 40, 50 years have been involved in this phenomenal organization. And it really is about the spirit of service. Mm-hmm. And so when you take someone like yourself that's white and male, and you're willing to share what you've learned. We were talking before the program started, and I was sharing with you that my neighbor was Ellis Traub, who's also white and male, mm-hmm. and he helped us phenomenally. Actually, we started over 20 investment clubs in our church at New Birth Baptist Church in Miami from his help and many other volunteers that were part of our South Florida chapter of NAIC. And so I think that we have the tools, the desire, and also the spirit of service as a part of this organization. So we want to thank you for reaching out and seeing whatever it is that you can do, because it does make a difference. And it also starts here when you think about how powerful the power of compound interest is. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting you made the comment about how your portfolio has grown over time. And just because of the power of education and the fact that the organization gives. I want to just mention to all of our listeners, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to hashtag My Investing Story, and we're interviewing Dan Harter he's a volunteer with Better Investing North Florida Chapter. And we talked earlier about the fact that he's been involved with the organization since April 2000, and he became a volunteer in 2001, and he has been volunteering ever since, which, as you know by now, is 20 years. And he teaches, shares, and just a phenomenal giver. So, Dan, I want to just thank you, and also just want to let our listeners know that this show, this program, we're all volunteers. We're not selling any products or services, and we're volunteers with Better Investing, and Better Investing was established in 1951. Before I was born, yes, it was. And a 501c3 organization, better known as NAIC, but now known as Better Investing. And this organization has helped over 5 million individual investors learn how to have a better quality of life. And so just wanted to just share that, because oftentimes we tend to think that we don't know what to do or how to do it. And Better Investing has given us the tools to know that. So then, as we prepare to wrap up, I'm going to turn it back over to Ione, but also we talked about the actual conference that's going to be held, and I'm not sure if you're planning on going to the conference in Dallas, but for those of us who are planning, it is going to be held on October 21st to the 24th at the Western Park Central Hotel in Dallas, Texas. So were you planning on attending, Dan?
You know, I'm wavering, because I was supposed to be going to Vietnam the 1st of November. And so who knows if that's going to happen yet. But I'm kind of wavering depending on what happens there. So if the Vietnam falls through, then more than likely I'm going to go to the national convention.
All right. Well, thank you. We're going to be looking forward to seeing you either way. We look forward to seeing you, but we are also hosting our Financial Empowerment Seminar, and this one will be in person on that Saturday, October 23rd, 2021. And we'll start with a light breakfast at 7:30, and we'll go until about 3:30. And I would encourage you, space is limited. The event is free. So please register today. The space is limited, and it is free. And I always like to give a lot of respect to Dean Yeager and his beautiful wife for helping us take his vision and our vision to another level with this financial empowerment seminar. And so we really don't talk a lot, Dan, about financial literacy because, as we know, as investors, you can be empowered to change your own future. So I yield it back to you, but I just wanted to just thank you, Dan, for those comments. And I wanted our guests to hear that one person can make a difference. And like I shared with you before the program started, there are people who are still talking about your presentation. So it's very good. All right, Ioni.
Yeah, just letting people know in the chat that, you know, North Florida has the majority of kind of central and northern Florida, but, you know, Florida is so big. So the Panama area is actually more under the leadership of Alabama and Emerald Coast. There's also, I just found out, a Jacksonville chapter. But the beautiful part of 2020 is that almost all of us, of course, again, Space Coast leading the way, hold virtual events. So if you want to forward someone to Better Investing, I really do suggest that you forward them to the North Florida chapter and their wonderful events, forward them to the South Florida chapter. We always are welcoming and always are going to have a beginner tent to things. But with that, Dan, I just want to say I really appreciate you being so humble in your delivery of the message of investment education and sharing your journey, not just tonight, but also at the Financial Empowerment. And I'm glad that we've started a chapter to chapter, South Florida and North Florida chapter to chapter working relationship, because I do think that individually as chapters, we have, you know, one to two events a month, but if we can direct people to what else is going on at other great chapters, you know, at any point of the week, any week of a month, you know, they can pop in on, you know, the D.C. regional chapter, the St. Louis chapter, Puget Sound, Pittsburgh, you know, the list goes on because we have so many great chapters populated by so many great Better Investing volunteers willing to give their time and talent and resources. And so I'm going to take this opportunity to say thank you to all of the Better Investing volunteers that are listening now. We really do appreciate all of the work that you do investing in others. And, you know, I'm honored to also work with such a great group of people, Better Investing volunteers. Dan, you have any last words or words of wisdom for people? Well,
I would also just add that it's such a great community, and it really is a community. And the fact that, you know, it doesn't matter what chapter you go to, you do find people willing to give their time and efforts to help people learn how to invest. That's our number one mission, obviously. And so there's it's not just me, it's not just Ioni, it's not just Dan. There's so many people out there in the country that are willing to do this. And even if you you know, you have that community sense once you're in our fold, and that it, you know, like that, I've helped people that have called me from Indiana, for example, that had questions about portfolio management, and I take the time to do it. I mean, anybody would do that. It's not just me. And that's, I think, one of the beauties of Better Investing as well, is that everybody is willing to give their time. And there's no strings attached. It's just, you know, we're just out there willing to help people.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And thank you again, Dan. Mm-hmm. Ms. Ann?
Yes, I want to also thank all of our individuals who have been chiming in to the chat and some really good comments. And many of them are volunteers. And so, like you've already acknowledged, but I think what I'd like to suggest we start doing, Ione, if we could ask the volunteers, and you know who you are, Ann Newman, and, you know, many of you, yes, Howard Johnson, if you can start, Laura, thank you so much also. She does a phenomenal job in sharing all week long in our social media. But I would encourage you to consider change your name and you know, just add BI Volunteer to your name. And I think that that would help our listeners and those who are on the Zoom with us to know how much you also continue to give and to serve and support those who are coming on to share. And Ione, I really think we should ask Laura Scott to come on and be one of our guests because she is just phenomenal in how she shares all week, finding awesome articles and these kinds of things. But I think also we have a lot of people who are in the chat. We want them to know Gabriel Monroe, Frederick, now you know when I start calling names, Emily, Doretha, for your support and volunteer, Michelle and Marshall. Listen, I'm going to get in trouble, but I'm already out here. Charles, Carmen, you know who you are, Kalina Shirley and Angelina. Thank you so much for coming on and participating with us as we share these investing stories. And I would challenge each of you, let us know, reach out to us, and let us know that you would be interested in sharing your investing story. You see, everybody has a story, and it does not have to necessarily be a story that, you know, you've done a whole lot of different things. Because there are people who will only relate to you. There are people who will only relate to Dan's story. There are people who will only relate to Ione's story. And one day I'll share mine, and there are people who will relate to that story of being broken. And that's how we found Better Investing, or I should say Better Investing found us. So everybody has a story. And I think that if we stop and really face that man or that woman in the mirror and say, you know what, this is where I am, but I'd like to start saving. First step, $20. I love a $20 story. Not a lot. We started with $20. And then we learned what to do with the $20. You save $20, and then you invest the $20. You save $20, and you invest. It's very easy. So there's no excuse. And we come on, and you hear stories every single Wednesday. So I'm going to let that go. Ione, you know, when I start talking, it's very hard to stop. And so I want all of you to know we really love you and appreciate you. But Better Investing is one of the best gifts I have ever been given, next to my salvation and my family, of course. But I think that for each of us, you each must find your own way to just take the first step. And I appreciate you, Dan, by responding to my question. And I think I'll continue to ask that question. So I'm going to ask each of you that's listening tonight, what's one thing you're going to do from the story that you've heard? Maybe put it in the chat. Let's begin to hold you accountable, because we don't just come on to just share these awesome stories. We really come on also to have the stories make a difference in your life. And it may not be right now. It may be later on that something that was said or shared, maybe a book or a link or something like that, that really makes you do something different. So thank you, Ann. See, she is so phenomenal. So if everybody would just share with us one thing you're willing to do between now and next time, and then we're going to ask everybody else, please save the chat. So when they come back next time, you can privately chat them and ask them if they did that. So everybody, we want to thank you for coming on, and we'll see everybody next week. And until then, namaste and good night.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.